This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Invin Global Esports analyst James Hong is going to join me today to speak about the state of League of Legends, the Akali rework, and the patch 8.15. Thanks for joining me, James.
Thanks for having me.
One of the things that I've been noticing, at least on YouTube, I've been watching a bunch of YouTube videos, and I know that a lot of people right now are sitting there saying, man, because of all these patches, the popularity of League of Legends is declining in North America. Do you think that's true, or is this just YouTube rumors?
I fully agree that this is true, but I'm not really sure to what extent it is decreasing. Like, is it decreasing a lot, or is it decreasing, a very small amount? But I definitely agree, with the community, and especially Team Liquid's Doublelist video on how League of Legends is truly losing popularity in North America. So essentially, if you think of games like Fortnite, right, really came to be one of the most popular games streamed on Twitch. So it has gained so much popularity just due to, streamers like Ninja, streamers like, Shroud from time to time as well, when they really invite that, tens of thousands of audience to watch their game. And when it comes to that, people are going to be inspired by their plays. People are going to be, inspired by their personalities and want to play the game more. Now, when you think of League of Legends in this aspect, it was before, like maybe a couple of years ago when, professional players like Amit Chudipie was still in Team Dignitas, and he was, bringing in a lot of people to bring a lot more popularity into the game itself. And now, you don't really see those kind of fan-favorite streamers anymore. Well, you do see Amit Chudipie because he has retired, but, you don't see Bjergsen as much. You don't see Doublelist as much. You don't see Afromo as much. You don't see, people like Sneaky as much, just because, they have a really tough schedule. And also, because of NA being viewed as, the worst region, even though, this may or may not be true, a lot of teams in North America have actually tightened up their, scrimming schedule and practice schedule just so they can, be on that next caliber for performance. So, because of that as well, less and less streamers or less and less, fan favorite pro players are able to stream as much as the fans want them to see. And this inevitably just leads to, less coverage of the game, less coverage of, people who want to see other people play what they want to play. So this just results to, people only being able to play the game for themselves and, from time to time able to catch their favorite streamer. And over time, it just inevitably loses their interest. And we have gone to this point where it's really struggling right now.
I was reading on a lot of forums how a lot of those big nerfs on AD carries is why League of Legends is suffering right now. Do you think that's true? Do you think that what Riot has done to AD carries, that they kind of broke the game for the popularity portion of it?
I agree on the first part, that the changes to ADC really, changed or like pretty much, how League of Legends was viewed and played for the past 7 to 8 years, right? But I do not agree that this is, ruining the game. So essentially what I mean by that is, every game, especially a game like League of Legends, needs change and needs, freshness in the game every now and then, right? You don't want to be playing the same game for every year for like 7 to 10 years, right? You want a little change here and there, and it's healthy for the game. You want some champions or some, lanes to be good at some times and whatnot. That's fine. But the thing is, they made such a significant change to the bot lane that people's concepts of what League of Legends was and how it was played was pretty much broken. And because of that, some people, unfortunately got discouraged of either, playing their favorite champions, playing their favorite roles, or just playing League of Legends in general. Because if you think of the fact that, let's just say if you're a huge, tennis fan, and all of a sudden the committee decided to change one of the fundamental rules of tennis, which changed how tennis was played. Some fans are going to, be indifferent about it, but other fans are going to be shocked and they won't want to play tennis or watch tennis anymore. So it's really hard to give a definite answer of, they should do this or they should do that, but definitely there are, valid two sides to how it was a good thought process to change the game and make it fresh and make it healthy. But at the same time, how they implemented that change, you know, really frustrated a lot of the community.
Now, one of the things that I've been reading on forums, and it's about Ghostcrawler. He was a programmer for World of Warcraft, and he left Blizzard Entertainment, and he eventually went to Riot Games. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are saying, well, Ghostcrawler ruined World of Warcraft, and now he's ruining League of Legends. Now, I think that's pretty harsh, mm-hmm. but what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's pretty harsh, too. But in regards to this topic, it's really, really difficult to really assess, because when it comes to my head programmer or head designer for, you know, a huge game such as World of Warcraft or League of Legends, like, there's no really criteria or there's no really gold standard for what or how we can judge that person's performance. So let's just say, you know, Ghostcrawler is working with the company and trying his best to make the game fun and pleasing for everyone. Who is really to judge whether this is right or whether this is wrong? Sure, you can argue that, you know, all the majority of the community and, you know, other people are saying he's ruining the game, but there's always going to be people that are going to like and hate change wherever it comes from, right? You cannot make a change, or you cannot make, I guess, a design that 100% of the users really like. And if that were to happen, it's just, you know, a miracle, one in a million. So my thoughts on Ghostcrawler and, like, you know, how he's kind of the main reason for the decline of League of Legends is not true. I think there's a lot of things that are putting League of Legends on the decline, but I also, you know, think that there's a lot of things that is bringing League of Legends up. As an esports, it's been probably the number one representative esports in all across the world. Other than StarCraft, which started esports, League of Legends is really, you know, what pushed it and what got other people aware. So in that aspect, League of Legends is doing fantastic. And the only reason why, you know, people are complaining is because they're not seeing the changes that they think are fit or, you know, they want to see. And sadly, you know, it is hard to say this, but sometimes a developer or a designer can't really always satisfy what the community wants, right? They need to fit what they fit is right, or what the, you know, companies such as Riot Games or Blizzard has vision and really follow it that way. And also, it really is not an easy job to be a head programmer or head designer for, you know, big games like these. And it really comes to all these minor details that they need to consider. So I would say, you know, it is a bit harsh on Ghost, and we just, you know, need to give him more time, right? Who's there to judge? And it is really hard to judge. Yeah, that's my viewpoint on it.
Now, speaking of satisfying the community, what did you think of the Akali remake?
Oh, my God. So I, for one, love the Akali rework, not because of, you know, the damage or, like, how they changed it. It's just really refreshing how they once and did, you know, update all these outdated champions that have been out for so long. Because if you think about it, League of Legends has been, you know, a 7 to 8 year old game. And that is pretty old for any other video game that has been this popular for this long. And when you have a game that's this old, you know, inevitably have champions that, you know, were released 5 or 6 years ago that don't necessarily fit with the times now. And, you know, what you need to do with that is either, you know, rebalance or update vision of the game more fresh to, you know, please the user. So in that aspect, I was completely happy that yet again another, you know, relatively old champion like Akali was reworked.
You know, that's actually really cool. I think that being an older champion, getting a little bit of a, you know, a new haircut type of thing is wonderful. Mm. But Akali already had really good damage. It was a lot of burst damage there. Why do an entire rework of the champion? Why not just tweak it a little bit?
I do agree that they could have tweaked it a little bit as well, like, let's just say, her damage, or maybe tweak one of her skills. The reason I believe that why Riot Games, you know, reworked Akali altogether was that they wanted to bring, I guess, a new flavor to an already functioning and flavorful playstyle, right? So Akali is this sort of ninja that can dash in from the shadows and, you know, mark people and then burst them down, right? And she did that with her old version, but you really felt kind of outdated to play her, you know, lack of a better word. Her visual effects were not that good compared to, you know, the most released champion. And her kit was good, but it seemed very plain. Like, her ultimate was just a, you know, no visual effects dash. Her Q was her throwing, you know, one of her kunais. And her W was very, I guess, outdated as well in the visual aspect. So I guess they just wanted to you know, as you said before, give her a new haircut. And, you know, that's pretty much how they want it.
Do you think this reworked Akali is going to be kind of snowballing type of champion as well? Because I notice whenever I go up against an Akali and they get a couple kills in, boom, that's it. Akali's got that lane. Do you think it's going to be the same thing now?
Oh, yeah, most absolutely. I mean, they changed a lot of things about Akali, but, you know, a couple of things that they didn't change was definitely her snowball potential. And I think that's, you know, relatively a good thing, just because her identity as a champion was always to, you know, dash in, try to grab those kills, and try to snowball as much as possible. Because when it comes to any assassin that has, you know, a lot of mobility damage or burst damage and dashes, there's always snowball reliance, because if they don't snowball, they're going to be useless in the late game. In the snowball aspect, she's the exact same, and I'm happy with that.
Now, will the runes and the same kind of items, are they going to be the same thing for her rework, or is it going to be changing a bit?
For runes, it's, you know, going to be probably the exact same, unless people are going to be a lot more experimentative. I mean, I just see Electrocute as such a good burst tool, because that is what she wants to do, and her kit allows her to do that. So I think Electrocute is still going to be one of her best runes. And in regards to items, it's probably going to be, you know, same as previous Akali, unless they decide to mix up the scaling, such as, you know, put a little AP there, put a little AD there, things like that. And we'll just have to see, you know, the most definite numbers. But for now, it seems like previous items like, you know, Zonia's Gunblade is going to be relatively good on it.
Now, before I let Akali go, I just have to know, why did they bring Akali out so soon after an Aatrox rework?
I think it's just their Riot Games way of saying, hey, we know what you guys are saying. We know you guys asked for, you know, Aatrox reworks and Akali reworks for a long-ass time. And now we're bringing it to you as fast as possible, as best as possible. And here it is. And to your statement of, you know, why release Akali out so soon when they were just balancing and readjusting Aatrox, is just because, I mean, there really needs no, I guess, long period of time when you put out balancing changes or when you put out, you know, reworks, etc. It's just nice to keep the game fresh, and I think it's nice.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I hope they bring out more reworks just as fast.
Mm.
Now, are we going to expect to see Akali in the next patch, 8.15?
I believe we are actually going to see 8.15 Akali.
I hope
so. In the 8.15 patch notes, yeah, they showed a lot of her field details, her stats, you know, they seem to be all grown out. So hopefully we'll see the new Akali work in 8.15, and I'll definitely let you know how I think of her after that.
All right, so for 8.15, are there any nerfs, changes, or buffs besides Akali that we should be looking forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two major changes that I look forward to. So the first change is to Aurelia. So bringing a little backstory, I would guess. So in the previous patches, Aurelia got hit hard. What changed for her was that they previously lowered her health and her base AD. They previously lowered damage you get on her stack, which is her passive, and they overall nerfed her R cooldown and things like that. So essentially what this made, you know, Aurelia is that she had a significantly weak early game, but, you know, was relatively the same, although weaker, in the mid to late game. And because of Aurelia's kit was so good, she was played every now and then in competitive play and even in solo queues. But with these buffs, you know, with these changes, they buffed her AD and her health again. And they brought her passive back to a relative, you know, instead of 1 to 12 damage per stack, they brought it up from 4 to 17, which is huge. They buffed her W as well. So instead of maxing W second, which you should do because it increases damage reduction, they just made a 50% damage reduction at all ranks. What this means is that her, not only her early game is going to be as powerful as she was before, just because of the W flat out 50% damage reduction and her, you know, health and base AD being increased. Her now early to mid game transition is going to be even smoother than, you know, patch 8.14. So with these changes, we're definitely going to see more Aurelia. We're definitely going to see her in solo queue. And when this patch hits live or competitive scenes, I guess, pro players are definitely going to play Aurelia mid, Aurelia bot, Aurelia top. And now on to the second change that I think is, you know, one of the most significant is actually the Fiddlesticks nerf. So with the meta changes, Fiddlesticks has, you know, creeped himself way back to the bot lane as support just because of, you know, the lack of ADCs and how the support items and how the AP items were changed so that mage, I guess, quote-unquote, assassins, because Fiddlestick can actually, you know, burst people down with his ultimate in the early to mid-game, you know, Fiddlestick and Brand have huge buffs, indirect buffs, just because of those changes. And now they, I guess, tweaking Fiddlestick's power level because he is, I believe, top four most pick bans and win rate in Korean server for support. So he is getting nerfed with his E, which is, I guess, 60 to 70% of why he picked him, because he was so oppressive in lane with his E poke and his bouncy. I'm glad for this change as well, because I did not like to face Fiddlesticks at all, and I don't think anyone listening into this podcast will like Fiddlesticks, but essentially the change is the Dark Wind, which is his E, his crow, cost got increased mana-wise from 50 base to 90 max to 70 base and 90 max. So what this means is just essentially they want to stop Fiddlesticks from spamming E as much as he wants every, you know, 5 to 6 seconds. And Fiddlesticks actually, compared to other champions, don't have that big of a mana pool. So this really cuts his, you know, sustained poke and his lane presence. So hopefully we'll see a bit more less Fiddlesticks. And his E damage per bounce has also been decreased from, you know, 65 minimum to 145 to 60 to 140. So slight tweak there, but it's per bounce that has been decreased. So let's just say if Fiddlesticks' E bounces 5 to 6 times, so you just times 5 or 6 to 5, so that's either, you know, 25 or 30. So that's actually 25 to 30 damage cut off in laning phase, which is, you know, the difference between first blood and not getting first blood.
You know, I'm glad we're talking about supports, because for the champion spotlight, I wanted to talk about Sona. One of the coolest concepts, because she's a healer, she can stun, she can give you all kinds of utility. And you saw a lot of pro play in the very early seasons of League of Legends, but not anymore. What happened to Sona? Why'd she fall off?
A lot of things that, you know, results in Sona not being played in competitive or even in solo queues that matter. It's because, you know, earlier in the days when Sona was playing in competitive play, there really wasn't any other champion to either contest her or have, you know, viable options against her, right? Since the champion pool and the meta and whatnot is so different and so bad compared to the previous years, you know, you have champions like Pyke, you have champions like Thresh, which were, you know, not present when Sona was played competitively back then. So you have these champions that are, you know, can counter her better, are a lot better against her, and she can't really do what she wants to do in lane against her. And also, in regards to the meta, there's a lot of AP champions going to the bot lane, and then you can ask the question why, you know, Sona's a bit of an AP champion, why are we seeing her in competitive play? Well, the real answer to that is that champions like Heimerdinger, Brand, Fiddlesticks, they're just better at what, you know, Sona is going to do. Sona essentially only has poke on her Q and maybe some of her passive charges. But with, you know, champions like Brand, Fiddlesticks, and Heimerdinger, they're all, you know, low cooldown in abilities. They all have multiple abilities that can poke you. And they're, you know, they have utility. They're not as squishy in the, you know, early game as Sona. So there's no really reason for you to play Sona. You have, if you play Sona, you have champions like Pyke, Thresh, Tahm Kench, Braum that can counter you pretty well. Even Leona and Blitzcrank. And then if you do decide to play her, they can just pick other support AP mage champions, like, you know, they can go like Brand Swain or Shen Vladimir, or they can go Heimerdinger Fiddlesticks to really counter Sona that way. So it's really a difficult time for, you know, Sona and Sona players, and this is sort of why we don't see Sona as much compared to the early days.
Now, I've seen Sonas at mid, and sometimes they work, but I think it's only because sometimes you see Fiddlesticks at top. It's such a strange champion to take to a lane, and that you end up kind of hurting the other player because they just don't know the matchup. But if you wanted to play like an AP Sona, a very aggressive Sona, what kind of rune spec should you take?
You can actually go two ways. You can go Ares, which is always a good rune for Sona just because her Ares adds damage for her Q and her auto attack, but also adds a little shield whenever she heals, you know, allies, which is, that's the both worlds, right? But if you want to go very aggressive and full AP, whether it be, you know, top, mid, jungle, wherever you want to go, right, you could actually take Electrocute. Now, this is because whenever you want to poke or trade with full AP Soda in main, what you can actually do is you can take Electrocute, you auto-attack first, and then you move up with your movement speed, which is your E, and then you proc your Q, and then your passive auto-attack. And that is probably like around 300 to 400 damage with Electrocute in laning phase, so that's just insane, right? And if you're 6 too, you can just add the Ignite and the ulti, and you already have a free kill there. So if you want to play hyper-aggressive, you know, best room is probably Electrocute, or if you want to play a bit more, I guess, reserved playstyle and still play AP Sona, I think Ares is still a very nice choice. And now, I guess, since we're talking about runes, if we're talking about items specific, you always want to go tier, early tier for Sona, because she's so heavily mana-dependent and her mana pool is small as well. So you either, you want to rush tier the goddess, and then you want to go Ludens into the space. That's probably the safest out that you can go for full AP Sona, just because the tier and Ludens give you the mana regen that you need, and also a bit of poke with the Ludens proc. And with Lich Bane, it just synergizes so well with how Sona's kit works with, you know, her Q and her passive. So those gives a lot of damage to you as well.
Now, with the way League of Legends is evolving, do you think that Sona should be reworked completely or just tweaked a bit?
I think it's too, you know, early to say, just because, you know, Sona does have a pretty good kit. She just doesn't fit in the meta right now. And there's a lot of champions like that. Before recently, you know, Poppy wasn't really fitting into the meta as well, but, you know, she didn't need a rework. She was completely fine. And, you know, most recently, I believe it was Cloud9 top laner, Licorice, that played a lot of Poppy and found a lot of success. So it's just a matter of, you know, the situation, the meta, you know, the item changes, things like that. As soon as some support item changes might be buffed, Sona might creep back into the meta. If the meta changes, though, you really require an engage heavy, but at the same time, a poke heavy champion that's strong in lane, Sona might arrive. And if there's nerfs to other champions that are repressive to Sona, Sona might come back as well. So if you see, you know, for example, champions like very engage heavy champions like Thresh, Blitz, Leona, Tahm, Kench, Braum, like let's just say if all of them got hit across the board, then you might see, you know, a lot more Sona just because they aren't as many people that can kill you as easily anymore. I don't believe Sona needs a rework. I think, you know, people should just give her more time. You can still play her in solo queue if you, you know, a Sona one trick. And you just have to wait until the meta and the items favor Sona a little bit, and then you can play her.
Now, it's funny, we're talking about counters to Sona and, you know, when other people get buffed or other champions get nerfed. And I can't help but think of Faker. Faker once said, and I think this was a month ago or a few weeks ago, he said that you just have to learn the matchups and you have to stick to your champion. And I think that was in regards to AD carries. And I sometimes wonder, should we all be doing that? Like, if I'm a Sona main, should I just be sitting there saying, let me learn the matchups, let me learn how bad or how good she can be in certain areas and just stick with it? Or should I just say, eh, let me get something easier, let me get Pyke?
I agree with both of your, you know, viewpoints. I think it's very healthy for a player to really study a champion and really know every one of its matchups and how it really fits into the game, right? That's why one-trick ponies or, like, one-tricks are so good at climbing in solo queue. So, you know, you would see one-trick Aurelion solos, you would see one-trick Gangplank go to, like, you know, masses of challengers in like 1 or 2 weeks. And people ask, how the hell are they doing that when all the other, like, you know, high tier pro players are still taking their time, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks to get to master a challenge. The reason why these one tricks are so good is because they know every single matchup, this every single niche of a detail, and this really helps them excel, right? But on the other hand, they only know those matchups for that one specific champion, while, you know, other players or other pro players, they play, you know, 5 to 6 champions, and they're, you know, they may not be as good on that with one champion compared to the one trick, but they know a lot more matchups, right? So it's a really hard argument of both, and I believe, you know, in my personal opinion, I am weighing, you know, a bit more to the Faker's, you know, opinion and side, is that you not only have to restrict yourself to one, but maybe 2 or 3, right? Just pick 2 or 3 champions that you absolutely love. Study them, study what the best item builds are, study their stats, study their changes every now and then from patches to patch, and make sure you know almost all the matchups. Once you know all the matchups, no matter how bad your champion is, you can actually win your lane and you can carry your game for your team. And this is really valuable, you know, when it comes to growing as a solo queue player, growing as a player for League of Legends, and then, you know, maybe you can transition this elsewhere. So overall, I think both points are valid. You can go, you know, give up a champion and go to other champions and try to learn that one. Or you can, you know, stick by the champion or champions that you love and really study it that way. That's really not a, you know, 100% correct answer. It's just how a person wants to play or wants to approach League of Legends.
Well, James, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me. It's always a blast talking about League of Legends, you know, the meta changes, pro players, and esports with you. And second of all, if you guys are interested in anything that I've said, hopefully, you guys can check out InventGlobal.com. We have all the latest and best news on esports, and we have a lot of communities, so go check us out.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.